welcome to the third Manx Footy part of the 25-26 season, brought to you in association with Jeremy McGinn, painter and decorators. Joining me in the podcast three-pronged attack this week are Tom Curfey.
Hello.
And everyone's favourite false nine, Disco Dave Norton.
Hi everyone.
Lots, as always, to discuss this week, but unfortunately we have to start our latest podcast once again on a sombre note. Ramsey member Harry Gillings passed away at the end of last month, and although he hadn't played for the club since he was a junior, I think it's fair to say he was one of the Ballyclone outfit's biggest fans, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and just the reaction since he's been passed shows how much he was loved up in Ramsey. And I think we've spoken about it so many times about football clubs on the Isle of Man having people behind the scenes that are often more important than the people who pull on the shirt. I think some players you see just come, turn up, pull a kit on, and then leave, where someone like Harry was a prominent fixture down there. He's always there. He would do bits behind the scenes that perhaps people wouldn't know about. And I don't think the club would be the same without him.
No. I saw Hattie's pictures from the Hospital Cup final the other year, and he could just see how made up he was and how much it made to him when they won that title. So our thoughts, as always, are with everyone who knew Harry and everyone at Ramsey Football Club. Now the club themselves are taking part in Movember tribute to Harry, aren't they? And it's amazing. They've already raised £2,000.
So they're almost up to £2,000 from the last time I checked, just before we started here. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if that figure keeps rising and rising. And it shows, like, a club like Ramsey have so much togetherness, so much community, and they're almost turning such a horrible thing into something so positive. Raising money for a great cause. And I know that Harry will be up there looking down, smiling, won't he, and seeing some horrendous tattoos, I reckon. Some absolutely shocking.
Well, at the start of the week, I was toying whether the podcast could go for Movember.
Ooh.
Now, it's obviously not an issue for me.
You had a clean shave this morning.
Yeah.
It's come back in.
I've been growing a beard since I was, you know, before I was 14. Dave said it was going to be a struggle, didn't he?
Yeah, it's not going to happen for me. It'd be too patchy. I mean, you saw my post-lockdown efforts a few years ago, and it's safe to say it was a bit shambolic.
It was. I'm thinking of a podcast appropriate description of your your mustache in the loosest terms, but I don't think you looked a bit like, I suppose, the best one to go, maybe like a slightly outside top 20 snooker player from the 80s.
So it's not the Crucible.
Occasionally, like, he'd never make it through to the last week. He'd be there.
You know who he was.
He was coupled with some pretty half-assed mutton chops as well. Sorry.
Even added to it.
So we thought against that idea.
And Tom, would you?
I think I'd be terrible. Mine would look shocking. Women already run away from me now. So can you imagine if I had a half?
That's for different reasons.
But half-assed. It wouldn't look great on me, and my beard's awful as well. When I leave it, well, this is clean shaven, but it'll be the same in 2 weeks, so I can't really make a good effort, it's sad to say.
Maybe next year then.
Yeah.
We'll put some links to the Movember. Is it GoFundMe page?
I think it's a Movember page. So
on our social media after this week's podcast. So please, if you've got any spare cash, throw it that direction, because as you say, it's in a great cause. And for in tribute to a great lad.
Really hoping there's an after photo, before and after photo, right at the end, to see how, because I can imagine some will be huge.
Well, I've seen you, Mills are doing it, aren't they, and a lot of other clubs. So please send in your best and worst.
Alan Harrison's from Laxey all those years ago.
Kept it after.
He did. It was an absolute,
handlebar job, wasn't it?
Alan, what's mean? He liked it so much, he kept it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I might be misremembering here. So
I think there's a photo in archives. I'll have to dig it.
It was, and then we'll find out it was actually taken in February. Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's games, I'm delighted to say Tom caught up with former Moran, St George's and Laxley goalkeeper Sean Daxon, who recently helped Everton lift the England Amputee League title. Now, regular podcast listeners will have been, I think on the first one, was the first podcast of the year?
Yeah.
When you two let me know that Sean had been in a advert for Shaw deodorant?
Yeah, he has, yeah.
I have been obsessed since. But not that obsessed, because when we were talking about, we're going to have Sean on shortly with you zoomed him.
Yeah.
Little bit, whatever you call them.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Skype's gone.
But I've started, and this just shows you, doesn't it? I can't stop singing the Gillette song, even though I know he's Sean.
Yeah, it's not
the score. But I'm You must have asked him about the show advert.
Yeah.
Did you talk anything about football? Yeah,
it's mainly just the show advert, yeah.
I want to know how many he had. He must have got a lot of free deodorant.
And I wonder how many people contacted him when that first aired to say, well, we're going to find out, aren't we? But how many people contacted him to say, I'm pretty sure I've just saw you when I'm sat on the couch about to watch Man United Liverpool.
It's an amazing pub quiz question, isn't it? Yeah, what links Raheem Sterling, Sean Jackson, and who else did they have? I thought there was another, like Jordan Henderson, someone random like that.
Yeah. They had a partnership with Liverpool a few years ago.
That's
awesome. Anyway, we'll have a listen to what the Jordan King has to say now.
We've written stories about you winning with Everton, playing for England, stuff like that. So we basically want to hear it from your end, how it's all been and how it's come about, basically. So feel free to start wherever you like.
To be fair, like this past year has been pretty full on. It's been good. Obviously with Everton, won the league 3 years on the bounce now. So, we sort of went into the year with that, like almost pressure to try and get it again. And we obviously, there's never been like a quadruple or anything like that in the league. So that was obviously the aim at the start of the year. And we just want to retain the title. And, it was really like, really impressed, to be honest, that we managed to do it. We had quite a few things that went against us. And just basic player ability at times that kind of killed us. But we, on the last day of the season, it sort of went our way. So, winning the league was good for me again, my second one now. So, that side of things was really good. And with England, obviously, preparing for the Nations League, which we won back in 2023. So we were out in Trabzon in Turkey, mid-September. And to be honest, it was quite a challenge for us. And obviously gutted that we didn't keep the trophy. It was brutal, to be honest. We flew to Turkey with it and kind of wanted to bring it back, and just didn't go our way, and Poland ended up winning it.
And you've played on some Manx football grounds that the pitches, I can imagine, are very different. You've played in the mud down at the playing field, and now you've put on an England shirt. Is that a surreal feeling to be representing England at the highest level?
Definitely, yeah. Like, obviously, when I first started playing for Moran, it was literally the same time I found out about MC football. So, my sort of journey started when I joined Moran at the same time. So, growing up on the island, never knew about MC football. And, playing Manx football, I never thought it'd be possible to go on and play for England. And, I definitely think I'm lucky the way I sort of found out about the sport and, had the support so I could travel across to England and go and play it. So it really is surreal, to be honest.
I can imagine. And there's not many players who can say they've played for Moran and Everton and in England. I think there's a lot of lads that like to think they could, but perhaps not. But you've also played, am I right in saying you played for Laxey as well in the Isle of Man? And is it Geordies as well? Or is it, what clubs have you played for?
So journey on the Isle of Man, I started, I think, under fives at Laxey. Absolutely loved it there. Peter Kinnish, obviously pulling the strings in the junior program. And I stayed at Laxey till I was about 15, 16. We had a really good centre of excellence team. The likes of Adam Long, Sid Batty, Joel Ibanez, players like that. And I made the move to Geordies with all them. So we were like a bunch of, just before getting to the age of senior football, joining Geordies with like Bassi Senior, Frank Jones, all them lot that you sort of got to train with the best players on the island, really. So that was a really good like introduction to like men's football, basically, for me. And obviously at the time, I think it was Andy Perry, first team keeper. So obviously I used to play in net before MC football. So it was Pez. He was in net for the first team. So I didn't really get, there's no chance of getting game time at Geordies when I was 16. So it was like a really good opportunity to join Moran, get experience playing men's football. So that was sort of the journey that I played. Obviously, in that season from around when we got promoted, that was probably still one of my best seasons like ever in football. You know, like the team, like the group that we had, and they're being so young and winning like in men's football was like, especially someone disabled for me was something I was really like proud of being like a part of it.
Yeah, and I remember that season. I watched a fair bit of that, only really young, but I watched a lot of that. And as you say, you had a great season that year. And to be a keeper in that team with Dave Brew, Barking Orders that year, I can imagine it's very different now. But that's a that was a successful season. That, and Moran now back in Div 2, hoping to replicate that season. Hoping to replicate that years on 2018. That was that's so many years ago, and it feels only like yesterday that you guys were lifting the trophy. It was incredible that. Then it was as you say, a really good squad we had back then, and a team that was worthy of being in Div 1, I'd say as well. Like, it was far too good to be a Div 2 team. So yeah, went down to the wire as well.
He had like Stu Morris, Ash, Cam Avery, like it was really like the spine that we had and things like that. Like it was, I think we were always up against Paul Rose. Pulley were the team for us that year and Kazakhstan as well. I remember all the games, and it was a proper challenge to because we won, obviously won it on the last game of the season, wasn't it, against
Governors Athletic, I think.
Oh, Governors Athletic,
Oh, well, there was a game we had to win. Do you remember we had to win by a certain amount of goals or something to go up? So it
just
was
coming
like
in,
we went 1-0
50.
down as well, I think. Incredible. That was at Bala Fletcher. I remember that well. But one thing I'm meaning to ask is, who would you say has had, I know you've played for three clubs on the island, but is there anyone that stands out who's had a massive impact on the island for you in football?
Well, like obviously, I joke like Peter Kinnish, obviously someone I looked up massively the things that he did for the junior setup at Laxey. That was something that was really, really important for me. But player wise, I think, like I said, that start at Geordies was really good for me, sort of seeing that professionalism almost, which is something like replicated over here in England. The levels that were set by the likes of Bassey and players like that really pushed us on and things like that. But also playing for the Centre of Excellence with Ciaran Watney and Norrie Little as my coaches, they're both like amazing for me. So there's so many people that sort of been
Yeah, too many
part
to
of
name.
it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sean, obviously, you're not on the island as much. I don't see you as often as I'd like, but I do see you on my screen sometimes on TV
Sorry
with this
about
Shaw deodorant advert. Tell me how that came about.
Yeah, to be that was it's crazy. I was so lucky to do. I did two of them. Obviously, at the time, I was playing for Man City, and Shaw are quite a big sponsor at City. And it was just through sort of chance of, that the sort of do the best to support the disability programs. And they had this sort of idea of having someone disabled on the screens, and it was just both times it was surreal, the sort of effort that goes into making this 30-second advert, like a massive crew of people, a load of cameras everywhere, you're filming literally for 30 seconds and you're there the whole day, and like even just getting to have a little one-liner and spraying deodorant, it was mad to be honest, and
It's
it was great.
one of them moments you feel like you probably like you made it almost because now you're on TV. Did you get many messages from family and friends after they saw you on Sky?
It was the first time it went out. I think it was a Liverpool derby, and like just the phone kept buzzing like, "Have I just seen your face?" Spraying a lot of children. It
I'm
was.
pretty sure I did the same thing. I'm pretty sure I rewinded back. It was with my mum, and I was like, pretty sure that I played football with him. It's crazy. Yeah, some big names on them adverts as well, so it's pretty cool.
I know. I think it was Grealish or someone like that who took
Yeah,
over. So,
it's
fair play.
incredible. And I suppose my last question, Sean, is what's the future looking like now? Obviously, you're still playing for Everton. You've got a lot to look forward to. What's the goals now? You're still playing. Is there anything in mind in the near future you plan on getting ticked off?
It's, to be honest, it is at the minute. It's the focus on the England team. I think, I'm really happy with what we're doing at Everton, but something that I'm personally missing at England is winning silverware. But when we won the Nations League in 2023, I was in a boot. I did my ankle. I had surgery on it, and I was on the sideline for the whole tournament. So, as much as it was good watching the lads win it, I still kind of feel like I'm missing that trophy that I can be happy with. And yeah, obviously we've got the World Cup coming up in July in Costa Rica. So for me, it's stuff like that. It's going to the major tournaments and ideally bringing the trophy home. That's I suppose that's the reason why we're in the sport. We want to basically win as much as we can. So that's for me.
Absolutely. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of everyone on the island when I say best of luck for all of that. And I don't want to speak on behalf of Dave Brew, but at Moran, we'll always welcome you back, I think. I think you're always happy to come back if you ever fancy putting on the gloves again. I always remember your kicks, I want to say. Do you remember your kicks that would fly? I'm pretty sure it popped a ball one time, am I right in saying?
Yeah, I don't know why. It was obviously kicking with a prosthetic and
Yeah.
used to just absolutely toe bung it
Yeah.
as far as I could. I do remember I knocked Cam Avery over once. I think he must have been looking the other way, and I've miskicked it badly, and it's gone right into the back of his head, right clean out.
Well, I know Cam listens to the pod, and I guarantee you there's a few people who would like to kick him over, if I'm honest. Now he's gone to Laxey anyway. I wouldn't mind being on that list. So.
Laxman,
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate it, and best of luck for everything.
noise.
Enlightening. That's the only word I can use to describe that interview, Tom. One of your best ones, yeah. And Sean, thanks for your time. Great, delighted to see you've done so well. Thanks for finally returning Tom's calls. It's been taking a while
it has
to.
Been a little while. I mean, if he's on a Shore advert, can you imagine how many people are trying to get in touch with him? I'm right at the bottom of the list. Again, so.
And he's just glad he's brought some silverware back to Everton.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm taking that. Yeah. See if he fancies getting the first team.
Parade through the streets.
Right, let's look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. Saturday, November the 8th, for those of you who are not sure what day or time of the year it is. 2 p.m. kickoffs this week, Dave. We've, of course, since we last recorded, we've gone past the hour falling back. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Now we're on daylight savings time now, aren't we? I think.
Yeah.
So, 2 o'clock kickoffs. Canlife Premier League. There is some lovely looking games in the top flight this weekend, Dave. I'm going to start down at Croyt Lowry, Port Erin.
Yeah.
Where Russian take on undefeated league leaders Corinthians.
Yeah, this is, as I put in my preview this week, this is going to be a tough test of Corinthians' title credentials, I think. They've obviously had a great start to the season. They've won 7 and drawn 3 of their opening 10. They were free scoring at the start of the season. The goals have not really dried up, but they've been a lot more solid at the back the last few weeks, I think. They've only conceded twice in the last 5 games, and that run has included the likes of Ayr and those sort of tough teams, St Mary's and the likes. So this will be a tough test for them. Russian had a really good start as well. Came a little bit unstuck a few weeks ago, but back on the winning trail now. So this should be a good contest, I think.
This is a good contest, not only for the league title, as we've discussed. Corinthians obviously sitting in pole position as it stands, but it's Railway Cup qualification time.
Mm.
Yes, and there I would say there's a 4 from 5 for me. St Mary's are in 6th, 15 points, and unfortunately 2 games to go. They're not probably going to make that cut-off point, but I think it's between Corinthians, Laxey, Onchan, Rushen and Peel for those top 4 places.
Yeah, I suppose with the games in hand, St John's can't be thoroughly discounted yet. But
yes, I suppose they have played a couple of games less than most of them.
It is an outside bet, but yeah. I think the results in the last couple of weeks have just opened the door a little bit. I mean, Onchan were looking really well placed.
Yeah, who'd have said Onchan would be up there at the start of the season? You know,
brilliant.
Really Brian Callum.
Yeah, he'd have been confident. But then that draw against Foxdale might be the. It's that must be the most frustrating thing in the world to go and do what they've done to other teams, and then stumble at a Foxdale side that got their first point of the season.
All
it's
Foxdale
crazy.
Needed to do is get rid of Barton.
Turns out they get a point. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Back to the big game now. Russian,
yep,
unbeaten at home, as my full time is currently telling me. This is why we've got the laptop. Yeah. It's not just to hide our bellies. It's actually,
but it does the work that well. So
not my bellies.
They've had 3 wins and a draw in front of the Wailing Wall at Croyt Lowry. 7 goals scored in those 4 games and 3 conceded. Corinthians on their travels have actually only won once away from Bala Fletcher.
Surprising stat.
It's a very surprising stat, and I love a surprising stat, Dave, as you know. So, does this, you know, are we looking at a Dave Norton Memorial Fence here, or...?
No, I'm going to still stick with Corinthians. I think they'll probably just have a bit too much, but close game. It's going to be tight. I think there'll just be one goal in it, I reckon.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go a Russian win, purely from them stats you just told me. The Russian teams have not lost a game at home. Corinthians struggle on the road. I think I can see Russian doing it, and I don't
know why. Struggle. They haven't lost.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they haven't lost.
Yeah.
So I go Russian. I'm going to go Russian 2, Corinthians 1.
I'm going to go and sit on the Dave Norton Memorial Fence, and I think that'll be a waller, 1-1.
Do you think either team would take a point? Do you think Russian would settle for a point now?
Massively. Now, yeah. Russian, maybe, obviously, they've got Peel breathing down the neck, and yeah. Dave pointed out, St John's do have games in hand on them in the Railway Cup qualification, so it might, but I think in the grander scheme of things, yeah, that's a good point.
Exactly, yeah. I think most teams in the league would probably take a point against Corinthians realistically, given how strong they are up front.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 39 goals in 10 games. That's nearly 4 goals a game. It does sort of tell its own story, doesn't
but
it?
But how many did come against Foxdale? So.
Fair point. Elsewhere, there's a derby, a tasty looking Western derby at Mullinicloy, where St John's take on Peel. Tom, now, we've talked about St John's have been a bit hot and cold so far. Mm. Peel, probably you could say the same as well, but have picked up a bit of form in recent weeks.
Yeah, yeah. This won't be easy to call either. It's at St John's, you say?
Yeah, it's at Mullinicloy.
Yeah, so this won't be easy to call either, because I think St John's, Peel's a big one for them.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the game at the start of the season Peel may St John's look at and go, we want something against these. And there's a few former player crosses.
I was going to say, we have that little added spice.
Exactly,
Ainsley Harriott would say.
Yeah.
There is recent Oates and Paul Whitehead.
Paul Whitehead, exactly. Two, and Peel will know exactly what they're capable of. But it's still always hard, I think, to not keep a... Because he's got... These two lads have got more of an incentive to go back there and show what they're missing out on, yeah. Peel, don't they? Because Peel have got this star-studded front line. We've got Thomas Brown, Lee Gale back, Taylor Andrews just behind them.
Yeah. I saw Daniel Bell played last week as well.
Yeah, did he score as well? Didn't
I don't know. I think he got assist, maybe.
Okay, but yeah. Peel have got like an ever-growing amount of talent there. St John's have got a few players from Peel. They'll be very keen to get someone on the mark, and I think... I don't know. I can see a Peel win, but it won't be easy. I think St John's will make it very tough for them.
The only thing we've talked about Corinthians' defence shutting up shop in recent weeks, although they kept a clean and probably a good clean sheet against Onken. I'll caveat that with Tom Creer wasn't playing for Onken, which is a big miss for them. They have conceded quite a lot in recent weeks. You know, 4 against Laxey, goal against Old Boys who are struggling, 2 against Braddon. That will give St John's that even added incentive, won't it?
And as well, St John's have got two wins, obviously, one against Braddon, a comfortable win there, and then they beat Una Mills as well. But before that, the interesting results, they got a draw against home and Corinthians at home.
Yeah.
So them two results, the fact that it was 0-0 against Corinthians, well, they kept the Corinthians... Like front 4 or 5, whatever it is, that attack of
front
debate.
11.
Exactly, yeah. So if they can do that, what's the set? Well, why can't they stop appeal front 3, front 4? But Thomas Brown might have other views on that. So.
Yeah, yeah. Although I have most recently turned out from around, St John's were my first club at football. So I think, just got a feeling, and it's not trapped wind, I think St John's might get something out of this. You know, I'm going to go quite controversially for a St John's win.
Ooh. Wow. Can you imagine the Peel faithful listening to this thinking, bloody hell.
I won't be allowed back in the... that's it. They'll be trying to pin that to the wall, won't they?
Yeah.
They'll be showing this video and they'll be like, look at
these. Exactly. I wonder what they'll be... what they'll serve you next time you're in the Kelvin Dawson community. It won't be a nice cold pint of lager.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be a very tough game. But my money's on Peel. I think they'll have a bit too much firepower for this one.
I think Peel will get the job done. It'll be tight. St John's will keep him at bay, but I think Peel will get the job done. Thomas Brown, maybe with a couple goals, which is not really putting my head up with anything, is it?
Did Thomas play last week? Let's have a look. Yes, he was in the starting 11.
He didn't score, though, which is a rarity nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, he let Gaylor and Taylor score, so...
So I think... I'm going to stick my punditry neck on the chopping block and go with St John's in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We've talked about Harry already. Ramsey's first game back in action following his sad death is against Braddon on Saturday at Ballaclone. It's going to be an emotional day. We've talked for all the reasons we talked about.
I think they did play Mills last weekend. Yeah, they did.
First home game.
First home game back at Ballaclone, so yeah. I'm sure they'll be like a proper outpouring of love there, weren't they? Yeah. And especially somewhere that Harry was so involved in down there.
Ramsey, on the playing side of things, lads, have not really got going yet this season. Now, they're sitting down in ninth. One win at home, which is unusual. Ballyclone usually a bit of a fortress, Dave.
Yeah, particularly in most recent years it has been. But, you know, for whatever reason, maybe they just haven't had a settled squad. I don't know. Obviously, we know that likes of Charlie Higgins is playing regularly for FC Armagh, plus a couple of others. So whether that's affected it. But, yeah, surprising in itself. But this presents a great opportunity for them. I mean, they'll be looking at this thinking, yeah, this is 3 points hopefully.
Can get back on track almost. And the thing is as well, we've almost got to get so many of them first team players and commie players for Ramsey will be so close to Harry. It can't be easy to just get yourself going again. I know they had the initial weekend off and fair play to the FA and everyone for sorting that for them. But then even games as games go by, there'll be a missing presence there, and it won't be easy for these lads to keep going. But it's a really nice, tasty game to get back into it. And, you know, Braddon, unfortunately, I think it'd be a comfortable Ramsey win.
Braddon, for me, they're doing what they need to. They're chipping away, Dave. You know, they're picking points up where they can. Mm. The other week, they lost 10-2 to Peel, which it can get, you know, you've been on the receiving end of a few
too many times.
It does take a while to get out of the system, The following week, they picked up a point against Old Boys. And then the result that stands out for me, and I know they didn't get out of it, but they pushed Onken all the way in a 7-goal thriller on the 18th of October, 4-3. So I think they're marginally better than their position suggests.
Absolutely.
So I think they might think they could get something out of this.
Yeah, especially because they look at the table and they're 11th and they see Ramsey in 9th.
Yeah.
There's not many teams, when you're in that fight for the bottom three, bottom four, you have to weigh up which ones realistically you think you can pick up points from. And I think this will be one of them that they'll think we could possibly go, especially with the record at Ballyclone for Ramsey. If they're not doing too well there, this is a good opportunity for Braddon to try and get something. But for some reason I've got it in my head that Ramsey are going to unload.
Yeah,
load of score, load of goals. I think it'd be 5-6-7-0.
Yeah,
and there'll be a big celebration at the Ballyclone after.
Dave,
to Ballyclone, Tom. I like it. I think you're right. I think Ramsey definitely goes into his favourites. I know you touched on that there with Braddon, though. They're picking up points where they need to, and those so-called six pointers, which is just keeping them ticking over. So they'll go into it with a little bit of confidence, but I think Ramsey will be too strong.
Right, Onken versus Old Boys now. Onken are firmly in this Railway Cup mix. You know, credit to James O'Kelly and his squad there, but the spiritual home of Stock Car Racing at the Niverson. They are 20 points, third place. They would have bitten your hand off, I would suggest, at the start of the season to be in this position. One of Hattie's excellent match reports, I think they said this is the first time since 1938-39.
Yes.
They get there, it's the first time they qualified for it, and they actually won it that year. So it's pre-World War II.
I love that, and I love how Paul Hatton can whip them stats out. It's just
he drops them like
exactly.
Hot. Exactly. So they're in third. Now, Old Boys fighting for their life, aren't they, really? This is Derby, isn't it, really? We've got both the new clubhouse now. They're right they're next door to each other.
So the new Onken clubhouse is at Old Boys,
but
their pitch is at the Division.
Yes, I think there's something to do with they can't play out at football.
Yeah, somewhere like that. Which is a shame as well, because the facility that Onken have got there
is
quite nice. And Old Boys have got a great facility.
I assume it will come at some point. But
Onken
are favourites for this. James O'Kelly just has to get it done this week, doesn't he? If they want to realistically crash the festive top four.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's probably hoping for a draw in that Russia Corinthians game as well, which would be a massive help for them.
And if Peel get beaten by St John's, as predicted by me, you know, it could be a very good weekend for Onken.
I'm gonna go with a tight game here, and I think Onken, I know they've done incredibly this season, but their past three games they've had a little bit of a wobble, which is maybe unfair because of how good of a season they're having. But they've scraped past Braddon, who are near the bottom. They've drew against Foxtail, which is, I know,
result of the season.
Literally, no one thought Foxtail would get anything there. And credit to Foxtail for keep going and getting a point there. As a club around, know all too well how hard it is to scrape these points and try and grab anything. So to get a point there, and then they got beat by Peel 2-0, which again 0-0. It's tight. So maybe a bit of a wobble's unfair, but they're not in the form that they were to get themselves to this place in the league now. So I can see Old Boys looking at this and going, "This is the time to play Onken. This is the time to maybe." Maybe get a result against them, especially with it being a derby as well. I think it'll be tight. I'm maybe seeing a draw here.
Well,
I think Old Boys will nick something.
Old Boys, you know, okay, they've had a tough start to the season, Well, looking at their results, they got three goals against Corinthians. I think they lost 5-3, but to score three against that side, I talked about it earlier, Corinthians' defence has been good this season. So that shows you that all boys are doing something right in the attacking third.
Yeah.
Obviously, the big kids.
They're wily, Dave.
They're all wily. There's a lot of experience.
There's a lot of experience in that team.
I mean, if Tom Crea plays, obviously they've got to keep him quiet, but there's also a lot of weapons in that Auckland side, so it's going to be tough for all boys. I do think the Oaks will get the points.
I'll just clarify, when Dave says there's a lot of weapons in that Auckland side, he means that in a good way.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like when I'm talking about Tom. Yeah, totally different.
A lot of weapons in that Auckland side. That's the slogan of the podcast.
I think Auckland will just have enough. I think the smell of Boxing Day mulled wine will just get them over the line with this one. Right now, where are we going to go next? Air United versus Union Mills. Now, Union Mills are in this battle at the bottom, aren't they? They are currently in 10th. I would say a relatively healthy 4 points clear of the bottom two, with a game or two in hand on most of the teams around them. Dave, now Air United, now up until last week or the week before, let me just refresh my memory with their results, they were sort of still on the outside chance of a Railway Cup spot, but a battering by Corinthians last week and a slight defeat by Russian 3-2 the week before has sort of taken that away from them a bit.
And going into this game, they're only 3 points ahead of Union Mills. So on paper, that looks like it could be a quite close game. With a new man in charge, it's, you know, they're just still finding their feet. It's a bit of transition going on there, I think, this season. But we know on their day, Air are a very good side.
That's the thing. And this season might not have been the perfect season for them, but when you get a new manager in and perhaps some players not playing anymore, it might be a bit more of a struggle than people think about Air. But Mills, speaking to Alex downstairs, he was saying that Ryan Kelly's not been too happy this season. He thinks that Mills could be playing better, could be getting more out of the season. And to be sat in 10th, that's not where Mills will want to be.
No.
But there's the obvious thing with players missing, with injuries, stuff like that. So, yeah, this is a tough one to call as well, because it kind of depends which Air turns up. Where is it being played, Andy? At Air?
Yes.
I'm confident enough to say Air will get the points here, but it won't be easy.
Air, actually, their home record. It's one of these...
Don't tell me this now.
You have these the sort of... What you presume is right in your head was actually often wrong.
We do that
a lot. Air and Russian, you'd think, are strong at home. Yeah. Ramsey as well.
Yeah.
Now we've already said Russian haven't lost at home.
Yeah,
Ramsey have lost three at home, and so have Air.
Oh wow! So that whole
the long trip to Anfield. Yes,
that normally is the case, isn't it? You leave there with nothing. That is my experience with Air United.
It's taking you 4 hours to get there, and you leave with nothing.
Exactly, and then you have to drive the person back in the car with you that you've just gave a penalty away, and your mates feel that. Yeah, there's nothing worse.
So their home form hasn't perhaps been as sparkling as you'd expect. Mills away form, they're actually the only two victories this season have come away from Gary Moore.
Okay.
From the slope of Gary Moore. Mm. So it's not a slope, is it? It's on a slope. I don't think it is a slope.
Windiest ground.
It's not windiest ground.
It's not like their old pitch. That was difficult.
You know, they might have some heart there. I still think Air will have enough about this, and I it screams there. And I'm sure Ryan won't be happy with this, like a 4-2 or 5-2 to me.
That seems about right to me as well. I'd say 4-2.
But the only thing I was going to say, Dave, did someone send Jamie Callister get his marching orders last week?
Yes, it was last week.
He's a vital player for Corinthians.
Yeah, he'll be missing out.
Kicking straight away?
I don't know, because sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm pretty sure when Louis had his, Louis Brew, he's out straight away.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think he won't be playing this week if I had to. But then saying that, the FA works in mysterious ways, and I don't know how to. I don't know. He might be banned in a month.
Yes. As always, our finger is on the pulse.
Just touching on that Corinthians result last week. Okay, Jamie Callister was sent off, but they also had
5-1 to Corinthians, for those that haven't seen it.
So Air actually had another player sent off in that game. So to end with that, it doesn't tell the whole story. No.
And there was how many penalties?
5 penalties. One was missed, four were scored, there was 2 red cards and a sin bin or something as well.
Didn't podcast favourite Andy Ball save one?
Yes, he did.
Oh, yes.
Legend.
So quiet day for the ref then.
Yeah, it was.
Who was the ref?
Baby Driver Glover.
Oh, gosh. So he's had a
busy day.
He has had a busy day.
A lot
day,
of paperwork to file after that one.
Yeah, can't go straight to the pub.
No. If he wanted to.
Yeah.
He might not want to.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just presuming that's what every...
I just assume that... Because do you remember, what's his name? the referee up north, he'd always come to the pub. He'd always come to the pub where you played after the match. So like, I'd be like, cheers, Peter. Say if we're playing Foxdale way, and he'd be like, see you the Baltic. And I like that. And he'd sit at the bar, and I like it because you'd think perhaps the players would go over and be like, I won't agree with that decision. Once he's in the pub, the match is kind of forgotten. Mm. So it's quite a nice way of, maybe, I'm not saying we should encourage young referees to go to the pub and drink many a beer.
Yeah.
But it's perhaps a nice way.
It could go one or two ways. Depending on the result.
I do not want to take any blame if a young ref goes to the pub and gets abused.
I feel like we need to row back on this one. Pete Lewis, like, you know, has years of experience. He's been refereeing since before 20, 30 years before I was born.
Okay, perhaps your ref shouldn't go to the pub, but
old refs, fine.
Old refs, get yourselves in there. Yeah, come on and talk to us. That's what I like.
Right, the final game in the Candlelife Premier League kicks off cheekily 15 minutes earlier than the rest at 1:45, and that's St Mary's game against Foxdale. Now, we've touched on Foxdale already, Tom. Mm. They've got their first point under the belt. Jay Chatwood scored.
Yeah.
The good times are coming back, aren't they?
I'm not so sure.
No.
Sorry, Foxdale. But I do have to give credit to them. You know, they're putting in the work, aren't they? And
just getting a team out. And a community team as well. Yeah, and which they will talk about.
But a lot of the lads that are now, they've got so many missing Foxdale, and so many people have got, like, for example, Barton's gone away, but they're missing. The keeper that's come up is Jamie Lord. He was their combi keeper the last year. He's now been thrown into the sticks in the first team. By all accounts, he's doing well. I know they've conceded a lot.
Andy
he's...
Ball's fault. Yeah. We have to get that in every podcast.
Yes, we certainly do. Yeah. Definitely Andy Ball's fault. But Foxdale, they're struggling, but a great result, a great draw against Onken. I think I saw, is it Brian Callow? I think he gave massive credit Foxdale and said how well they've done to get a draw there, especially because Onken apply in the season. This could be the start of a complete turn, but sadly I don't think that's going to be the case for Foxdale.
Two stats I'm going to point out, which I'm sure Dave was as well, but I'm hopefully not stealing your thunder here. 46 goals conceded in 8 games, it tells its own story.
Yeah.
But they have scored in every match, which when
Foxdale
you
have.
Yep, they've got 10.
Wow.
I think
they have.
Which they have. I think just shows, like, it's often you've been in a team that's been relegated. That's not always the case.
No, it's a thumping and you've... You don't get a goal, so...
There is a bit of light at the end
there
of
the tunnel. There is, and the big question is whether they're going to get more than 4 points like Moran did last season.
Well, they're on one.
They've
got two games ahead on Braddon, who are 4 points ahead of them. So the great escape, we could... Jamie Cubbon could be firing up the to jump the JCK.
Because it would be a great escape. I know it's still early in the season, but it would be a great escape because everyone's written them off.
Can you imagine?
We used to do this with gyms, wasn't it, back in the day?
Gyms,
and they'd be written off at Christmas and
come back.
Always come back. So maybe.
And I know the lads up there will be desperate to prove everyone wrong.
Can you imagine the night in the Baltic?
I think Barton would come home.
They don't need him.
Yeah, they do.
So. But this week they've got St Mary. St Mary's in sixth. Al Harrison, I think, was the winner of
the FA Manager of the Month.
Yes, for October.
Yep.
They've in that month they've beaten Braddon, Mills, only narrowly lost to Corinthians and Russian, which is a great result. And Air, and I can see why he won the Manager of the Month. He
did you vote for him?
I don't think I was here.
No,
we're not. I was on Towers, fella.
I forgot who I voted for.
So that's, you know, they are on in good form. I feel, again, this will probably give them the edge in this match.
I think so. I think you alluded to it before. I think it's possibly a little bit too late for the Railway Cup for St Mary's. Yeah. I think they're just a bit playing catch up a little bit too much. But as you say, that run of form is excellent. I was at that game against Corinthians. Okay, they lost, but it was only 1-0. It was such a tight game. And, you know, I think they'll take heart from performances like that against a Corinthians side that have beaten pretty much everyone in front of them. So, I think this is certainly a game where St Mary's will be favourites. I mentioned to the Wolf, Mark Wolfenden is banging them in for them. Tyrese Thompson is in brilliant form. I think Alex Harrison's got them playing some really good football, so another 3 points as
well. I do as well, just mainly the bowl, I think, as well.
Is that a factor?
But how different is the bowl to Billingham Park?
Well, light and day.
Exactly. So if they were playing away, I think Foxdale maybe have more of a chance for the ball.
Well, it wouldn't be playing away. It's November. Billy Goat.
Oh, of course it wouldn't be on. Yeah, that's a very good point. But later on in the season, when Villiers Park eventually gets drowned out.
May.
Maybe TT. And they play that match.
Playing round the camper.
But I think that could be different. If it had been the other way around, I think Foxdale maybe nicked something at home. I know they can play... Yeah, Mary's playing at the Bowl. I think they're used to it. They train there. They play there every week.
Actually, they train at St John's.
Oh.
That's true.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm just destroying all your... And to make it even worse...
My point's that invalid.
Foxtel's only point has come away from home this season, so...
okay, Foxtel are going to win at the Bowl tomorrow. Saturday, sorry.
Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's games in the most entertaining second tier in Europe, we have an exciting delivery at Old Church Road recently, didn't we, Tom?
Yeah, we certainly do. So Moran obviously celebrating their 75th year anniversary kit. I don't think I need to tell listeners that. They're just aware because it's such a historic club with their... And it's...
You heard you mention it about six times already this
exactly.
Season.
If you've spoke to me in the past few weeks, yeah. I've talked about it. It's a stunning kit. It's a nod to the past. We had a kit in, I think, 1956 that was similar to it. And then throughout the years, it's been predominantly maroon. But there's been kits that have gold on as well, and they've changed to predominantly gold. So we've basically given a nod back to that, made it as celebratory and nice to look at as you can. I've actually heard a few people say they don't like it that much. I remember Cam Avery came out and said, good thing he doesn't have to wear anymore. So it's a lovely kit.
Very retro. I enjoyed the old school team photo you guys took the other week.
Credit to Gary as well. Gary came down, late notice, we gave him a shout, and Gary came down and took some photos for us because... It's one of them things that clubs on the Isle of Man have so much proud history that I think we always need to give a nod back to the people who started these clubs from so many years ago. They're the most important thing in the world.
And I know you mentioned before, there's often people behind the scenes making these things happen, and I'm delighted you spoke to two of the club stalwarts, Neil and Helen Withers.
Absolutely,
about
this. And this is actually really nice, actually, because they speak about Percy Kelly, who was their granddad, who started Moran Football Club off in 1950. Oh. So how nice is this that they're, yeah. So they speak about that, and they speak about where it's kind of come from and our connection to Motherwell that not many people would know about.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Colour me intrigued.
Well, and he's a big fan of Scottish football, so he just hit the right
note. Not Motherwell, though.
Well.
Oh, Dave, wash your mouth out. Right, let's have a listen to what they had to say now.
So, first of all, it's a big day today. It's Melia night tonight, but it's the official kit launch of the 75th year anniversary kit. Talk us a bit about it, Nev.
Well, I think over the years we've had different types. We've had maroon as the main colour, gold as the main colour. Things in between, we had one which was almost red, but we'll not talk about that one. But we've gone back to a bit of a retro feel. We had a close connection with Motherwell, probably back in the early 80s, mid 80s, and if you look back at their kits, this is a bit of a throwback to one we had off them, so that's what we're going for, really.
And it's a big year, obviously, 75 years in Moran Football Club. You've probably not quite been involved all them years now, won't go that far, but you've been involved all throughout the years. Tell us a bit about how much this club means to the people of Moran and the lads out there with the kit on.
Yeah, well, I think everybody knows it's a bit of a community club for our family, especially my granddad. Percy Kelly was around in 1950 when they first set the club up. He was club president for a few years after Hayward Gellin. So it's been good for me and Helen to follow in our granddad's footsteps. And my dad was on the committee and my mum was on the committee. So real community feel, real family feel for us, and it's really nice for us to be involved.
Absolutely. And Hells, obviously the Melias tonight, that's a big one, of course, as always. But just basically the same question, how important is it for a club like Moran to keep going? And 75 years is a long time, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. We want to do another 75 at least. I mean, we won't be around for that, but never mind. But yeah, in terms of our family as well, played here, coached here, secretary, and just love everyone. The lads are great, everyone puts in loads of effort. It takes a lot of effort to keep the club going, so it's a testament to the members in the committee that it's gone on for this long. We're lucky enough to have some great facilities down here, which are provided by the Moran Memorial Playing Fields. We have a close connection with the other sports clubs here, so the Cricket Club and the Bowls Club. And we hope to build on that going forward. It's just great, isn't it?
Yeah.
What else has happened this year to celebrate 75 years of Moran Football Club, Nev?
So we're going to have a celebration of the Moran Football Club in April. The hope is to get teams from the ages through. We've already spoke to people from the 80s, they're interested in going. The 90s team and the early 2000s when we did relatively well. We had some top players, we had Ireland internationals, we had players of the year, top scorers, that kind of thing.
We introduced our ladies team.
The ladies team, so all these we're hoping to get. We're looking to get a special guest or two. The date is
the
18th of April, so look out for that.
Perfect. Thank you very much, guys.
Very interesting indeed. I know it was a bit of a love passion for you, that one.
That didn't feel like work. Nev was on great form as always, and I just grabbed him at the end because I just thought we need to get something in about this fantastic kit. And it was also hilariously replayed in the combi match with that goal kit, turned up at the new Manx football ground of St Ninian's High School,
which
we need to discuss. We need to get down to there, I feel like, do something about that. But anyway, we get there, we're playing Governors Athletic Combi, and they arrive in their yellow kit. Obviously, I think we contacted the FA to say our home kit will now be a gold colour.
Yeah.
But they arrive in their yellow kit, we don't have a maroon kit, we kind of just... And it's hilarious, you know when the changing rooms aren't open and stuff like that? So the changing rooms weren't open at this school, and we've got the home side, Governor sat there waiting, Moran sat there waiting, and no one spoke to each other. But we were already in our kit from the photo shoot we've just done. Mm-hmm. These guys have a yellow kit, and after a good 10 minutes, this fellow wanders over and explains that we've got a yellow kit. And yeah, eventually they went and got their other kit, Governor, so thanks to that for them. But it was one of them things that we need to kind of mention to other clubs now, that our home shirt will be gold this year and our away will be white.
So. Well, club secretaries, Dave Matheson, etc, etc.
Exactly.
Well, please note, please note that the Moran will now be playing not in maroon, but in yellow.
Gold and maroon. Golden. Not gold. Yellow either. Disrespectful.
Look pretty bloody yellow to be.
Gold,
right. Right, Arden Drugan Division 2, Dave. Right, where are we going to start? Let's start with the Southern Derby. There's many in the second tier, as always, and this season's we've already had a couple already, but Castletown versus Maloo at the stadium, Dave. Well, Castletown are...
Yeah, they're top of the moon by points, and they've got a game in hand, so they're absolutely flying.
Mm.
They've won seven and only lost one of their eight games, so...
100% record at the stadium.
Yeah, and plenty of goals, as you can see there.
31-8, right. Only conceded seven. It's happening at both ends.
Yes.
Any good way.
And so Maloo are down at seventh at the moment. They have played fewer games than anyone else in the division, so it's a little bit of a false position. Yep. But Castletown... They're
going to
fancy their chances this weekend.
Yeah. Another derby. You know, we've already talked about St John's Peel. The derbies, even on a place as quite as geographically small as the Isle of Man, Tom, they do mean a lot, don't they?
They do mean more, yeah. And I always wonder when there's a derby match on. I know some of the players nowadays might not factor it in, but I can imagine 30, 40, 50 years ago when Castletown played Maloo, in my head that's a bloodbath. I don't know why, but in my head that's like a proper... Like, look forward to the fixture list, proper, take that seriously. So I think, this is a big game. A big game. And for Maloo, they want to kickstart their season, don't they? Especially, what a better place to do it than at the stadium.
Yeah. I just think Castellana Beach too strong. We've discussed this, 100% record, goals galore, tight at the back. I just only see 3 points going away to the league leaders for me.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, Maloo beat Youthy on the opening day of the season, which is a good result. They've had a few more points since then, but... Yeah, it's been fairly tough going for them so far. It'd be a tasty game. I think it'd be a few tackles flying in this one, but yeah, Castletown for the win for me.
Yeah, just about Castletown as well.
Elsewhere, we see Paul Rose, who currently sit in fifth, take on Ramsey Youssidente, who currently sit in third at Springfield Road. I'm getting a mental block with them. I didn't used to, but since we started talking about it more often, but anyway, it's at Paul Rose.
Because you know, Dave Sid is listening and he will correct
it. It's in pulley.
Yeah, it's in pulley. They take on Youth. Now, this should be a good game, Dave. Yeah. Now, there's only a couple of points to separate them in the league standings. Pulley unbeaten at home, which is always interesting to see. Youthy have actually got quite a good away record, only lost once. I would say Pulley win for me.
I think it's tight, and you know what, I'm going to kind of put my Moran hat out and go for a draw, because I think it'll be a draw anyway. That'd be a great result for Moran in the end. We're sat in fourth, but them two are quite tight together. Yeah. And they both got good combis, by the way, as well.
Yeah.
They've both got really strong combis, actually. But these two, they'll be up there towards the end of the season. I think from first down to fifth, maybe sixth, if you just want to throw Royals in, and then there's a drop, isn't there?
Yeah.
I think it's a noticeable drop as well. So from first to sixth, I think every game that these three, and they all, remember, they all play each other three times.
Mm-hmm.
From first to sixth, every game will be tight. I think I say that as if when I didn't lose 5-1 to Colby.
But well, you've had, as you say, they've had a good start to the season. Mm. My money's on Pulley purely for the fact that they inflicted Castletown's only defeat of the season. And that is a big result in the context of the season. Yeah. So it shows you that Pulley can do it on the day. And they've got a lot of tackle players, obviously Owen Canapa and those sort of boys. So I think they'll probably just have the firepower, but it's going to be a close game.
No, it is. And where has it been played, Andy? It's Springfield, so it's in Pulley. So I think the home advantage, they'll have a lockdown. They'll have a lockdown watching Pulley on Saturday.
We talked about the Canapas. Yeah. They scored 6 last time out against Douglas District.
Yeah.
Very English coming off the bench and getting a goal as well.
Club Nathan Hall, James McGinn's back playing. Yeah. They do look like they've got options. Russell Dawson, good goalkeeper, used to play St Mary's. So I think they're going to be good. Castletown, I don't know if anyone else picked up on this. You think last season Ross Crawford's top scorer?
Yes.
He's moved to Castletown. In a very rare move from
one end of the end to the other.
So could he score last week? Yes, he scored against Colby last week, alongside Alex Crawley. Lucas Simmons seems to have jacked in rugby and
Nathan played. Cardy's back as well.
Oh yeah.
Wow, Castletown have got them all coming back out the woodwork.
Ash Sansbury pulling the strings in midfield, Rob Tier, former podcast guest.
Yeah.
Owen Kamada living up to his dad rep in goal as well. So it's all coming together in Castletown.
Yeah, Castletown seems to be working out.
Bit of sleeping giant as well, Tom.
Yeah, they are. They're a huge club, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And that stadium has hosted some of the biggest games amongst football.
Correct.
Yeah, it's incredible when you look back through there, just reading Hattie's book, you look back through
Hattie and Eric's.
Sorry, Eric, gosh. And you look back and massive teams came over and played there. Like when the ball, I don't know if the ball wasn't available for some sort of combi match, but there'd be a massive English side coming over and playing, and you see the pictures. Yeah. The amount of people on the sidelines down there. Castletown, to me, they're a Division 1 outfit.
Yeah.
Like a big enough to be a Division 1, should I say, obviously.
Yeah. And to be honest, I'm just looking at their results this season, Dave. They're breezing it at the moment.
Bar the Pulley result, that's the thing. That's and you have to remember, I keep forgetting that everyone's playing each other 3 times, so you don't just get one by the chair, you don't just get 2, you can have another go to try and be a team, and that's huge, because it's all about when a team runs out of steam, and we could be playing till TT.
When everyone will definitely be running out of steam.
Yes.
Right, elsewhere, Dave, we've got Moran taking on Douglas Royal in their new yellow kit.
Gold kit.
Now, this is another one of those games in this sort of mini top 6 league, isn't it? And Royal... I'm just looking at it. I'm still on the Castletown results page. That hammering at 10-1 by Castletown in September seems a lot, it sort of put them out of their track a little bit, didn't it? And then they've come back since. They got a good draw against Colby, beat Malou. Bit of a heavy defeat against the youth team. Thought that might be a bit closer.
Yeah.
Beat Govs. Draw with D&D. Now, that's probably drop points for them, you'd suggest. And then win over Govs. So they're a bit all over the place.
This is a tough one to call as well, because Moran, you might think from the past 2 results, Moran are in this great run of form. Obviously, they've played D&D and Governors Athletic, 2 big wins there, but no disrespect to them 2 teams, but they're not the ones you're going to get win the league from or get be up there at the end of the season. Every team is more or less likely to pick some to get a good goal difference there. It's the other results that concern me, draws and defeats to teams as well. So I don't know. This is a tough one to call, because you might look at it and think Moran have won 2 from the past 2, but this will be a lot harder, and Royals will be bang up for this, really bang up for it. And if they want any chance to finish towards the top of the path of this table this season, they've got to win as well. They do have a game in hand over Moran, don't they?
Moran have a game at home.
Oh, sorry, yeah, game in hand over them. Yeah, so tough one to call this.
Moran's home form's good. You only lost 1. Royal have only won 1 on the road, and conversely to that, so. Ooh. I don't know, it's a tough one. I think Moran will just edge it. I think it'll be 3-2, 2-1, something like that.
I'm inclined to agree. I think Royal's strength is the goal scorer. When they've got the likes of Kieran Lane and those sort of guys, Bailey Ashton,
Sansbury,
they've got some very talented players in that squad. But likewise, so Moran.
Yeah.
I saw a legend, Haggy was back scoring as well.
The chant was back singing. The lads are back singing the chant. It's amazing. Haggy is back, and... he's in the mood for goals, he tells me. So
is he, how should I use this? In rugby terms, he'd be known as a finisher. Someone that comes off the bench for the last sort of 20 minutes, half an hour. He's not going to do your full 90. He's not going to fit into a pressing system, is he? He's just going to be, come on, bang a couple of first touch goals and then come off.
Well, I've noticed some people get frustrated at him because he's not here all the time and he goes missing for quite a while. But I quite like it because...
Not like literally missing.
No, the police aren't putting heels out for him. He has other bits going on. He's sometimes injured, things like that. But when he comes back in, I quite like it because it's like a little secret box you didn't know was there. You're like, oh, he's back. Oh, look who's back. Do you know, like, it's not like... I'm not like, oh, where have you been, Haggy? I'm instantly like... Bloody hell, I forgot that we had you. You get up front, score some goals for the parish. It's brilliant when Haggy's back, and it'd be nice to get, it'd be really important if we get a result against Royals. As you say, we're trying to make the Old Church Road a bit of a fortress, and the rain has obviously been battering down, and Moran is one of them pitches that...
Yeah, you guys had to work hard to clear it for that Cromley match.
That's another credit, that clubs have these people that go so unnoticed. I couldn't make it down, unfortunately, but some of the lads down there did a great job, and we got the game on, and yeah, clubs like... These community clubs, they're so important for people like that to get games on that maybe perhaps people don't recognise or notice. So, yeah, credit to the boys down there for doing that. And loads of other teams across the island as well. But, yeah, I'm going to go Moran win. And it's really nice to hear you two go Moran win. Because all last season I had to sit here and go, well, if we look back at the prediction tables for last season, Moran were top, won every game from my perspective. And they were very much where they ended up from you guys. So it's really nice this season to have Moran wins for now.
Some positive Moran spin.
Exactly.
And we're not talking about the Crosby Cricket Club spinners, are we? Let's have a look at next. St George's Governors Athletic. Now, this is a game. St George's, 1 point. These two virtually have the same frame record.
Yeah.
They played 7 games, drawn 1, lost 6, scored 11, conceded 30, minus 19 goal difference, and with a point each. It's got to be a draw then.
Yeah,
that's
pretty good. The points to it, isn't it?
It's St George's in 9th in Division 2. Who'd have thought it? It's a sad state of affairs, really, isn't it?
Yeah, so this game is at Glen Country Road. Sort of a weird derby now, that with Governors now playing their home games at St Ninian's High School. It just is flabbergasted. You know, us two have covered St George's when they were unbeatable.
Grand slams.
Just, you know, 23 wins out of 24. You know, 7 goals conceded, 1 goal season. They've conceded 30 in 7 games already. And it's just...
It's just
a different era. Almost mind-bending, really.
And what they call that happen is like what Jim's has happened to Jim's. You know, like such a sleeping giant that they're in a coma.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to offend the gym's things, but it's a massive historic Manx football club that's won everything they can possibly win. They've done a grand slam as well, gyms, and it's sad to see. I believe gyms were the first club in the Alamann to have floodlights as well. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were. I don't know if that's. I don't know where I've got the information from. Blame Hattie if I'm wrong. But Geordies, I know they're going through a period now which is going to be tough, but they just can't let it get so bad, if you know what I mean. They've got to try and revitalise that club because, as you say, you guys have covered. It must be mad for you guys to see them sat in ninth here with Governors and D&D around them.
I have to say, like, I think I saw this week they've got an under-16s team.
Which is great.
Yeah, and you know, they've just got to keep them together. And it will come round again. It always does. We've old boys have yo-yoed between the two divisions. Castan look like they're going to go up this season after a while.
And it helps
away.
The Douglas club as well, I think, as well.
My argument would be it's harder because there's more competition.
But
if anyone starts playing football in Moran or Crosby, you're on them, aren't you?
Yeah, of course. But I think it's more, you're more likely to get that revolving, you know, that group that seemed to go round in Douglas.
Yeah.
I thought that there might be a chance for Geordies to get back up through, people coming back through, and people have got links to St George's as well.
So you know what? St George's would be a tremendous football manager save. You know, fallen giant, you know, rebuild from scratch.
Well, I think Jim's would be even better.
Yeah.
The fact that you don't even have a first team, I think that'd be unbelievable. You start getting more and more players through the door. We should set this up, I think.
What I'm going to say, though, I'm very annoyed with St George's, because I've just got, they're not putting all their details in full time, which is our biggest bugbear.
And we want to see who's playing for them, you know what I mean? It's difficult to.
There is not what. Hang on, last thing. So I know this is boring for those of you listening to this.
They've done one.
First game of the season, they put it in, but they haven't done that since. Kieran McNulty, fair play for sticking around, mate. Yeah. Chris Kelly as well. Kieran is one of the best finishes the island's ever produced, and he's slogging it out in Division 2 down there.
Exactly. And loyalty's a rare thing amongst football nowadays, so it's good to see someone sticking around.
We won't talk about the Michael United season, though.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Very quiet on that front.
But who do we think is going to win this? And we haven't really talked about Govs. You know, they're obviously, it's exactly the same record as St George's. They seem to be in games, just not quite getting over the line.
I want to go back to the point that, you know, in 2014 when Governors Athletic was set up, Can you imagine when you guys were covering Manx football, we were discussing the possibility of a Governors Athletic win against St George's at the bottom of Division 2?
I remember covering, I think I covered, Governors played St George's in the cup.
Yeah. Did they?
And they got...
Did they go 1-0 or something?
That was Peel. They went 1-0 against Peel. I think they got tanked by Govs, by Geordies in the cup.
And now we're talking about possibility of a draw or even a Governors win.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's at Governors' new ground, which is... it's at St George's. But Governors do have a new ground, which is interesting as well, isn't it? But yeah.
I think the score draw will agree.
It looks like
a Desmond could be a 2-2.
I'm going to go draw as well.
And I think, as you say, though, you're looking at Govs' results... Some of them have been pretty close. Yeah. I mean, they've only lost by a couple of goals against the likes of Colby and Youthy and Dougie Royal. So they've been there.
Yeah.
It's just making it a 90-minute thing. We used to say this last season, I think, didn't we? They were a 60-minute team and then it kind of fell apart a little bit.
I was told they had a few missing last week as well. They played Moran, because a few of the Combi lads told me that they had a few missing from the first team, so that the Combi took some up. So it's a knock-on effect, isn't it? But yeah, credit for Govs for getting two teams out consistently. Well,
very close game in store. I'm not going to sit on my fence.
Oh.
I'm going to go for a Geordie's win. I think 2-1.
Okay.
I think a draw.
Yeah. I think they'll have exactly the same records after this weekend as they did going into it. Right, final game in Arden and Drogon Division 2 sees Colby, who currently sit in second place, take on Douglasson District, who currently prop up the table in 10th. It's been a tough season for D&D. We talked to the lads the other week. They've really struggled. They've got players through the door, perhaps not the calibre of player they've had in the past. They've conceded 52 goals in 10 games. That's an average of 5. And more crucially than that, they've only scored 5 in 10 games. So that's where the area of issue is, really. They think Colby, conversely, are only a point behind pace setters Castletown. They will be licking their wounds slightly after losing to aforementioned Castletown in the one of many sudden derbies that we're going to have this season last week.
Particularly the manner of it. I believe they were 3-0 up in that game. Adam Morton was at that game. May he rest in peace. They were 3-0 up and threw it away. But fair play to Castletown. We've already looked at their squad. We've seen their goal scorers. You can't take them for granted.
Yeah, that's Colby, a crazy result, that.
Yeah. I mean, they've got the likes of Carl Hickey and Jordan Edge flying the back of the net for them. I think, this should be a fairly comfortable one for them.
Yeah, I totally agree.
What an advert for Manx football that is, though. If you want to walk down south and you stop off at the stadium just on your walk and you look over and it's a 3-3 thriller.
5-3.
Oh, sorry. I'll start again. What?
Well, it would have been 3-0 at one point.
Yeah.
Exactly. But
3-0, I've seen enough.
Yeah, head off.
I'm going this siding.
Exactly.
5-3 they lost in that match. But Colby,
an advert for Manx football, either way.
Prior to that point, they'd won their last 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row, including a 2-1 win over Paul Rose. They had been in good form, so I think they'll be keen to get it together. And unfortunately, I think D&D might be on the receiving end this weekend. But keep going, lads.
Yeah, keep chugging away. And you know what they will do, because they're a proper club, aren't they, D&D?
And we always say with D&D,
They have got a result.
They do.
I think Dave Matheson, he'd quite like it if they had maybe 6 or 7 results this season. But
or he tells them, or imagine he just handpicks them, because that's the one, that's the one. Yeah, we can set the rest of them off.
Sorry, the just being distracted by the Maxman coming in at 4:05.
We're professional here.
Yes. Anyway, right. Let's Combi Corner, Dave.
Oh, favourite time of the week. So a bit of a round, obviously, because we've not been here for a few weeks, but Russian currently lead the way at the top of Canada Life Combination 1, but a level on 20 points with Ramsey after the latter edged them 2-1 in their recent meeting, which is a big result for the Northerners. The closest rivals are Corinthians and St John's, who are 2 points further back. Between them, they scored 18 goals last weekend, so they're in good form. The Whites have plundered 10 goals against Ayr, while the Saints were 8-2 winners over Foxdale. It does remain close in this league, though. There's only 6 points covering the top 8 teams. A special mention to Onken, who certainly didn't do their goal difference any harm recently when they won 23-0 at an understrength Foxdale. Tom Lancaster led the way with a double hat-trick, but I know we've mentioned it, but fair play to Foxdale for getting that
team out. Yeah, now we've talked about big scoreline.
Yeah.
That's got to be up there, but we're not 100% sure it's the biggest. Now, did you play for the Mighty Derby in a hammering?
Yeah, we lost a few when I was there.
To double to 20-plus goals?
I think so. Yeah. I probably tried to raise it in my mind. I think we went to the Derby Hotel afterwards and had
a few baddies. That's funny enough, when I hear stories from my dad and his and my uncles and stuff like that, when I hear stories about the Derby days, it's not very many stories about the on the pitch stuff. No. It's more about the chaos that would happen at the Derby Hotel afterwards.
100%.
But I do remember a few people have mentioned to me that there was the three Kerfys at the back who conceded a silly amount of goals. It was definitely over 20 either way. And I'm not 100% what the if anyone knows what the biggest battle in.
Yeah, I've got there's a Malou beat Michael or something in the cup, or Michael beat Malou in the cup way back when, and that was a big scoreline.
There was also one, and I could be wrong here, but I think it was St George's versus Royal.
Yeah,
and it was 26-0. I think was it 23 or 26-0.
Yeah, Sean Quay made team of the week that following week.
Yeah,
and Gavin Gaughan, Douglas Royal stalwart, left winger, cultured left peg. He said, I don't know how Sean Quay made it into Team of the Week because he had naff all to do as they were because they lost 23-0.
Obviously, quite a week for defenders, except for Royal. Yeah. But I think that was a 26-0. And
20.
I think. But we'll have to dig into the archives.
So
and see.
We can basically, we can't rule out, but it doesn't look like Foxdale had the biggest humping. And the fact they got two goals. I'm pretty sure Ollie Horbury, who scored their goal, started the game in goal.
Ollie Horbury?
Ollie,
he played from around.
Ollie Cubbin.
Yeah.
Of course, he was a Cubbin, playing with Foxdale. Pretty sure he started the game in goal and then scored in the second half outfield to get a goal, which is pretty...
Rush keeper.
How do you explain when you go to the ball, if you go home and your mum asks you, how's your day been? Yes, you conceded 23, but you played in game and goal, you conceded 11, but you scored outfield. I'd be like, pretty good day.
Max Football's a very own Shilovert there.
Yes. Well, you were talking there, Tom, obviously about the Derby links and stuff like that. So it would have been father and son, and obviously the brother playing there as well. And I do remember playing in a couple of those games. I remember one of those heavy defeats, and I can't remember who we played against. And the manager just gave up, and I was on the bench, and he just stuck me on up front as a lone striker with no one else around me. It was like a flat back 10 or flat back 9 with me up front, and I couldn't do anything. But speaking of father and son's combinations, there was a link here, by the way.
Slide in.
In Arden Duggan combination 2, there was something of a rare sight in Max Football last Saturday when a father played in the same side as his two sons. Goalkeeper Ross Morgan lined up alongside his sons Finlay and Jacob in Castletown's match against Jim's, which the Mets won 2-1, and Finlay grabbed one of the goals. Thanks to Paul Hatton for sending us that information.
Class. Yeah.
Elsewhere, Pulley have maintained their perfect start to the season, have now won all 10 games so far, most recently beating Malou 7-1 last weekend. Dafka and Youthy are the nearest challengers, some 8 points adrift, but with games in hand. The Pinks romped past Governors 13-0 last weekend, so another big scoreline. The previous weekend, Youthy and Dafka played out an entertaining 3-0 draw. The mighty Moran, they made it back-to-back wins, despite the best efforts of Tom Kerfey. They defeated D&D 9-0. Yep. Niall Gibney back to hat-trick.
He did.
While Hugo Hughes continues to be a super sub for the Crosby outfit, with another goal off the bench. Apparently Tom tried to get sent off later on, but unfortunately for the manager, he's still available for this weekend's game. Care to elaborate on that?
I don't think it was a near sending off or anything like that. It just crossed my mind because we were all desperate for young Harry to get get a clean sheet. He's a 16-year-old keeper, and there's been times like the week before we were 8-0 up and conceded a sloppy goal, so we're all desperate. And there was a point where they had a free kick, they hit the bar, and there was points where the guys were running through. I mean, towards the end, I did my best to concede. I was literally, if I were Harry in front, I know he's only 16, but I'd have given me a right bollocking. But yeah, in the end, we managed to keep hold of it, and I was made up for Harry in goal. It was really, really nice. So, yeah.
Good result for Moran.
Yeah, really good.
And the last game in this league, there was a 9-goal thriller at Bolero Road, and Michael United edged past Douglas Royal 5-4 to make it back-to-back victories of their own.
Yeah, it's good to see Michael getting the wins as well, because they've had a tough time with players leaving and stuff as well. So
I was just listening to that lovely story of Roscoe getting to play with his sons there. So I was just thinking, right, so I've played with Hugo last season, one game, because Dave Brew spoiled the second one because he called him up to the first team. He didn't score in the game. But Hector is 6 now. So if he's 10 years, he'll be 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to keep ticking over for 10 years. So I'll be 51.
Yeah.
Hugo will be 31. and Hector will be 16. So we,
you could all play in the game.
Yeah.
It's doable.
It's doable. Catty must have played in the 50s, must have.
yeah, no, he definitely has. Yeah.
And then Decker progresses all.
And Fox is another one. He plays for Foxdale way onto his 50s, maybe even 60s, I think, Fox.
I reckon we can make Foxdale first team at 50.
Yeah,
only joking.
Hey, they'll be winning the Premier League by then. Yeah. Don't you worry.
Right, the most important point of the week, Dave Rees-Weller.
Friday, today looks mostly cloudy and dry with some rain overnight. There will be some strong winds. Saturday looks like it'll be dry with sunny intervals before a little rain later on. So hopefully it's a good day for some footy.
Fingers crossed. Now, before we go, FC Almaner back at the bowl this Saturday evening as the Ravens aim to claw themselves further away from the North West County League's Premier Division's bottom two. Pilkington are the visitors as Rick Holden's men aim to make it six unbeaten. A last minute, 102nd minute equaliser of the week.
Yeah,
against Uxton Villa, the wonderfully named Uxton Villa.
Great name.
I was thinking, where is Uxton? Never heard of Uxton. It's in Lancaster, Dave. No, Chorley. Yeah.
Don't do the Alan Partridge quote.
No.
I was going to say, but there's some debate over who scored that last minute equaliser.
Steve Whitley or an own goal.
Yeah, so I haven't seen any footage of it yet, but North West County Football League have given it as an own goal. So
right.
Sorry, Steve.
Yeah, we'll go with own goal. So if you're at loose end, that's 6 o'clock at the bowl. Anything else to add, lads? I think Freddy O'Donoghue still chipping away at Queen of the South. Adam's at Paul Rain, as we know. Liam Doyle, we've been trying to get him on the line, haven't we?
Nashville, I see. They won the Cup. Yeah, won the MLS Cup.
So he's the sporting director or something?
Director of football and operations, I believe. So,
and we're still hoping to get Isaac Allen, of course.
Isaac Allen, who made the move from Lincoln to Premier Division Sunderland, goalkeeper, former goalkeeper of St John's.
Yeah.
The other one we want to get, and if you know him, please get him to get Rudy Bryce, is it?
Yeah, Rudy Bryce. He'd be another one to get.
Yeah, former St John's player. He's now on loan from Kelty Hearts to another club in Scotland who I've forgotten who played in the top league and non-league over there. And Dave's now Googling it quickly to try and cover my blushes here. We'd love to hear from him. Bonnie Rigg, that's where he's on loan at. We'd love to hear from him. So if anyone knows how we can get in touch, you try dropping him a message, didn't you? Not for the first time, rejected your DMs. Yeah.
When you see Tom Curvey's typing, you tend to put your phone away. also, a big appeal to add to our collection.
Yeah.
Basically, we're trying to improve the studio. I think it'd be nice if we could get something from every single one of the 26 Manx football clubs.
Well, that would be amazing.
It would be good, wouldn't it? You know, just it doesn't have to be a kit as well, because I feel like a kit's been a bit cheeky asking for a kit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to chuck you a 75th year in this kit unless you give us 100.
What happened to our Moran kit? We had the
I wore it, I think, to a
fancy dress.
Yeah. I wore it to something, but it is getting tight on me now, and that's nothing to do with the kit or the washing, it's to do with my waistline. But it'd be nice to get, like, even just something small. I know, just to add to these walls and stuff, it'd be really nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so any memorabilia, the more random the better.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah,
please get in touch. Obviously we're on social media, drop us a line and we'll look. Arrange to collect it, or if you want to come in and see behind the curtain and the podcast HQ and be bitterly disappointed about how low tech it is.
They don't know what's behind this wonderful camera here, do they?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it could be anything, or it could be nothing.
Yeah. It's just Adam Morton constantly swearing.
Right, we'll speed it up, Adam. Yes, we'll speed it up. Right, until next time.
It's half an hour.
It is amazing.